All right, well, if you'll hop over to, we're going to start off in John 8 tonight. Will be the scriptures for our message tonight. Our topic is the mark of Christ. If you don't know, the mark of Christ is love. Love is the mark of Christ. It is by love that we shall be known as His. D.L. Moody, a well-known evangelist, a well-known preacher, well, he once said this. He said, "Show me a church where there is love, and I will show you a church that is a power in the community." In Chicago, a few years ago, a little boy attended a Sunday school, and when his parents moved to another part of the city, this little fellow still attended the same Sunday school, even though it meant a very long, tiresome walk each way. A friend asked him why he went so far, and he told them, they told him, this friend did, that there were plenty of others just as good, much nearer to his home. He didn't have to go to this other church. "They may be as good for others, but not for me," was the lad's reply. "Why not?" asked the friend. "Because they love a fellow over there," said the boy. D.L. Moody went further to say this as he closed out his example. He said, "If only we could make the world believe that we love them, there would be fewer empty churches and a smaller proportion of our population who never darken a church door." He said, "Let love replace duty in our church relations, and the world will soon be evangelized." Join me as we pray for the message. Father God, we come to you tonight to thank you, Lord, for all those who are here tonight and those who could not be. Father, we ask for safety for everyone when they head home tonight, Lord. We ask that you would use us in a mighty way, Father. Lord, there are many in the church right now that are dealing with sickness, the flu, colds, pneumonia, all sorts of things. Father, we pray that you'd have your hands on them, that they would have comfort, Lord, and strength, that there'd be some healing there. They'd get to feeling better much faster, Father. Lord, we come to you tonight, and I ask you that you'd be with me as I go to give the message, Father. I wish that you would speak through me, Lord, that the words that are spoken would be your words and not my own. Father, help me to speak clearly and to relay the message clearly. Father, that you would be glorified in all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, well, the first verse that I'm going to give to you here, we're going to just go ahead and stay in John 8. I'm just going to hop over a couple of chapters here to John 13. And we're going to go to John 13, 34 and 35. This is probably the key verse for tonight. This is our key verse. So John 13, 34 and 35 tells us, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Special emphasis here. Remember, this is Christ speaking. Catch this next part. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So that is why tonight's message is titled "The Mark of Christ, Love." It is our love for each other, which Christ himself said, this is how the world around you will know if you're mine. This is what you need to have, love. Now, yes, there's a great many things that are expected of a Christian. We should obey God. We should live godly and righteous lives as best that we are able to, right? We need to honor the Lord, do what we're doing right now, coming together in fellowship, worshiping, right? However, the only thing that he says is the mark, the way in which you shall know him is by love. So Christ gave us here a new commandment, that we love one another as he loved us. Not simply that we love, but we love as he loved us. That was the command. Going further to emphasize the importance, like I said, it was by this love, this new commandment that we have, that we would know that we're his disciples. Now, of course, it should go without saying. It should go without saying, and I think it does, that we are to love everyone, right? Scripture tells us that we're to love our neighbors even as we love ourselves. But Christ tells us to love each other, our brethren, our fellow believers, as he loves us, right? So in order to do that, we have to understand, how is it that Christ loved us? How is it that Christ loved the disciples? That's the sort of relationship that we're to have within the church. 1 John, I'll give you two verses from 1 John, and then we'll dive right into how Christ loved, how we can see that example of what he said. But 1 John tells us in chapter 2, it says, this is verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know of him, if we keep his commandments." So keeping his commandments, as we spoke just a second ago, that's how you know that someone knows the Lord, right? That's how you know that they have a relationship with him. But to be his, to be his own, is to know, is to love. Chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 say this: "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." In other words, we can't be hateful and spiteful to the people around us, whether they're our neighbor or not, and claim that we have the Lord within us. That's not Christ. It tells us right here, God is love. That's the point that he's making, is that, yes, we need to have that love for our neighbor, but also that love within the pact of believers. And that's what he's talking about right here in 1 John 4, when he said, "He that loveth not knoweth not God." You see, that reminds me of the Jews of the Old Testament, where they knew of God, but they didn't know God. You see, they had the commandments, they had the law, they were trying to please God, and they were obedient, so they knew God, they knew of God, right? But they didn't know him, they didn't understand him, there wasn't relationship, they didn't know who he was. So, he says, "Love one another as I've loved you." Here's where we're about to get into how Christ loved. There are three things, good old Baptist three, right? Three things I want us to keep in mind when we think about how Christ loved, so that we know how we ought to love one another, all right? The first thing, Christ loved with acceptance, with acceptance. Now, caveat on that. That does not mean that we are to accept those that are living in sin and those that are disobedient to the Word of God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our relationship to fellow believers, right? That you love one another. That's what I'm talking about. So, Christ loved with acceptance. And when I say this acceptance, I'm saying, of course, love people, even if they aren't following God, but we don't have to accept that behavior. We don't accept that, right? We acknowledge that is distant from God. But Christ loved with acceptance. Let's go, I'll summarize, because we're going to have a lot to get through tonight. Luke chapter 5. We see the story of Christ when he calls Levi, who is later called Matthew, right, the tax collector. Levi is there, and God comes to him and calls him to follow him. But look at who Levi is, right? Look at Matthew. Look who he is. He's a tax collector, or what they would call a publican, right? He's someone who worked for Rome and was seen as unrighteous. He was someone who was against his own people because he was collecting money and taxing. They were always, there's the assumption that they were underhanded, they were taking money under the rug, so to speak. So he wasn't a very popular person, even among his own people, right? But in Luke chapter 5, Christ calls him and he follows him. He goes with him. What I see there is Christ accepting him even though his own people have rejected him. We see that time and time again, right? His own people have rejected him because he was a publican, because he was working for Rome, he was taxing his own people. But what did Christ do? Christ loved him with acceptance, irregardless. Irregardless. See, further, we go to Peter. We'll get to Peter now. Peter, Luke chapter 22, we see the story of Peter when Peter denies Christ, right? His own disciple. denies him three times. Three times he denies him. And surely whenever, when Christ is resurrected and he's with his disciples, does he lord that shame over Peter? Does he distance himself from Peter? That's not what we see. Christ accepts him and he brings him back into the fold. I put a note here that at the end of John 21, Jesus is encouraging and instructs Peter after all that's come to pass. He ended by telling Peter to follow him. In other words, whenever he's talking to Peter, he says, do you love me? Do you love me? He asked him three times, right? Feed my sheep. He tells him to follow him. He told Peter he wasn't done with him yet. Even though he denied Christ, Christ wasn't done with him. He was still accepting. He was still forgiving. Other examples of this we see in the woman at the well. The woman at the well was rejected. There's a reason why she came down by herself and not with the other women to get water at noontime. There was a reason that she was pushed out from them, unaccepted by even the people she lived with. But we see Christ. It says here in John 8, 10 and 11, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And this, of course, is the story of the adulterous woman, right? The woman who was caught red-handed, and they drag her out to Christ. Now, Christ could have stoned her. He could have done all of these things, and the law dictated it. But he didn't. He forgave, and he accepted her. So Christ loves with acceptance. We see this time and time again. No matter where the sinner comes from, no matter what the sin is, Christ is willing to accept those that are willing to accept him. Time and time again, we see that. You see, I put a note here that says, Christ accepted all and received them with love if only they would believe. That was the only caveat. If they would love him, then he would love them. End of story. That's all it took. Here's a note about our church. We need to keep in mind within the church the same mind that Christ had. We all have a story. We all have a past. We all make mistakes. But that love is that which transcends those things. It transcends. It climbs over walls. It breaks down barriers. It was the love of God that tore the curtain in half. No barrier would stand between man and God now because of God's love. He did that. No barrier should stand between us. The same love and the same acceptance we should have. A couple of things to think about, other examples that we see here in Scripture. I think of Zacchaeus, the greedy little man who was up in the tree when Christ came through. Christ accepted him, even though he was seen as someone who was underhanded and thieving and no good to everyone else. Yet all the time, every single time, all throughout this history, Christ is accepting to people. Once they placed their faith in Christ, nothing else mattered. So first and foremost, as we deal with our brothers and our sisters in Christ, it's important that we acknowledge that Christ loves with acceptance. We should do the same. When a brother or sister comes to Christ, we should not be holding any of their past sins against them or any of that, just as we wouldn't want them to hold it against us, just as Christ doesn't. So first and foremost, Jesus loved with acceptance. Every single one of the men that followed Jesus were not perfect. Every single one of them made mistakes. Yet he took them as his own. The second thing, Christ loved with service and with sacrifice. So the first is with acceptance. The second is service and sacrifice. You see, this reminds me of what James said. James said, faith without works is dead, right? Why? Because the faith, if it is alive, if it's a beating heart, if it's a true faith that's living within you, it should produce works, right? It should stir you to action. There should be fruit. The same goes with our love. If we have love, if there's a beating heart within us for those people around us, we should see that in our lives. We love with our service and with our sacrifice. Christ set that example. It's easy to say that you love someone, but when you mean it, it shows in your life. It shows in your life. Philippians 2, 5 and 8. Let me hop over there real quick here. So Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, Christ didn't just say he loved us. Christ didn't just say it. God didn't just say it. He showed it with his actions. He had a sacrificial love. He came and took the form of a servant. He humbled himself. He was willing. How's that song go? There's a song that says, you find out who your friends are, right? And I can't remember all the words to it, but basically he says, you know, there are those that they'll say they're there for you, but then when you need them, where are they, right? Christ wasn't that guy. Christ was that guy who was there. That's the love that he gave, right? The very fact that he walked among us, his life reflected love, and the end thereof was the utmost. The end of his life showed the utmost love. For no greater love hath any man than he lay down his life for his friend. Now, I think to myself about this, and honestly, I'm a bit convicted, and I think we all would be. God Almighty, the Father, right? God Almighty created all that there is, right? He through Christ, he created everything. The glory that he has is indescribable. It's something none of us will ever be able to really understand. His greatness, his might, his mercy, his forgiving nature. He is surrounded on the throne of heaven, and they sing, holy, 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 forever. And I think to myself, knowing that Christ humbled himself to be the form of a servant for us, how much more so should we humble ourselves and show love to those that are with us? It's convicting because I love every single one of you here today, but I ask myself, Josh, what are you doing to show that love? If Almighty God could take the humbled form of a man, and the purpose thereof was only to be example, to be rejected, to be hated his whole life, and eventually to die the death of the cross. If that's the example he set, where do I stand in how I'm following that example? That convicts me. Convicts me. John 15. John 15, 12 and 13. Well-known verses. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And again, there it is. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Matthew 20, 28. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Are we loving with service? Are we loving with sacrifice? Where do we stack up in the example that was set for us to follow? The note that I put for this point, that Jesus loved with service and with sacrifice, the note is that Jesus' life was one of servitude. He came and he faced persecution. He paid a price that he did not owe. He gave life where once there was only death. to wear a crown made of thorns, to take nails in his hands. Why? For you and I, he lived to serve. He gave all. He paid all. We must love like Christ. We must love like Christ. He tells us in the commandment that Christ gave, he said, by this will they know you are mine. That you love one another, not as we love ourselves. That's how we're to love our neighbor. When speaking to those within the church, with those that are of the people of God, he said that you love like I loved you, is basically what he was saying. The bar is pretty high. The bar is mighty high. And I just think to myself, where do I rank? Where am I in following that standard? Where am I? Am I meeting that standard? No, I'm not. We must love like Christ. So the first is to love with acceptance. The second thing is to love with service and with sacrifice. The last thing, there's quite a bit to this, is to love to the end. Christ loved them to the end. John 13:1. Let me head over there real quick. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And we know that Christ tells us during the Great Commission, he tells us that, and lo, I will be with you even unto the ends of the age. To the ends of the world. We must love to the end. You see, the love that Christ displayed, it never grew weary. It never got tired. It never gave up. And my mind goes back to Christ in the garden when he's praying. And he gets up and he goes to check on the disciples. What are they doing? They're sleeping, right? And he wakes them. Hey, could you not stay with me even 1 hour? Right? Surely he was tired too. But what was he doing? He was praying. That's right. On their behalf. Not for him. Yes, he was full of fear. He was worried about what was coming. That the fear was upon him. Right? He said, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But not my will, but thy will be done. Right? But he prays for his disciples. His thoughts... that. Truly, his thoughts were of them to the very end as he stared death in the face, as he was about to pay the price for all the sins of mankind, as the weight of the world literally was about to be placed upon his shoulders. It says he was tears of blood, a sweat of blood was coming out of him. And his thoughts were for his disciples. For his disciples. Wow. Something to think about. And here's something that the real reason that this was put on my heart. Here's the real reason that this message came about, and I think this is what God used to kind of, you know, give me an idea of what he wanted to talk about tonight. I went with my daughters to a soccer game out in Forest Hill. They have a great complex out there, church-based. They do a great job. We got a guy by the name of Dr. Bloom. You guys probably know him. He's probably been in the area for some time, I hear. It was great. It was a good time. Well, here's what happened, right? I really feel like the Lord was using this to say, hey, this is what's on my heart. While the kids were playing, I sat there with a bunch of other adults, all the parents, right? We're all just kind of sitting around. They're watching the little kids and doing their thing. And so, me being the person I am, the social butterfly, so to speak, I just thought it was kind of weird sitting there in complete silence with these people. So finally, I said, hey, tell me a little about yourself. What's your name? My name's Josh. I live over in Nimitz, you know, talk to him a little bit, get to know him, I thought. And so, I thought I asked what I thought I'd have the answer to, right? we're at a church. It's a church-based soccer game. And what's the question I asked? Hey, do you guys go to church here? Every one of them, no. I didn't see that coming. They caught me off guard. I thought surely one of them's got to go to church here, right? Not a one. So as I sat there, I said, and in my head, I'm thinking, well, I don't know where to go from here. Like, I wasn't ready for that. So I said, well, where do you guys go to church at? You guys go to church here? You guys live nearby? I drove from Nim. It's about 25 minutes. And one by one, they followed each other. They seemed like they didn't really want to answer, but they answered me. We don't anymore. We used to go here, or technically we go to such and such church, but we haven't been there in a while. Two of them said that they currently have a church that they don't attend much, and that they were looking for a new church. And that grieved my heart so much, so much. And I thought to myself, wow, there are people right here, all these parents, and not one of the folks that I talked to had a church that they attended. Not one of them had that social interaction, that support from the saints that we get, that fellowship of coming together. Not one of them was being able to, it's for us to enjoy coming together and worshiping Almighty God. And it just put on my heart, and I said, why? That was the question that stuck out in my head, I had to know. Why? And I felt really weird after I asked it, because once I asked that, I realized what I just did. You know, it's kind of weird when someone goes, no, we don't really have a church, or we don't go here. It's kind of weird when someone you don't know goes, why not? You know, put them on the spot. I was like, oh, well, there it went. You know what they said? Every one of them, for the most part, the first person answered, and everyone else is kind of like, yeah, kind of the same thing here. They said that the reason that they didn't attend a church is because it didn't feel right anymore. That they said the relationship that they had inside the church, that the spirit in the church had changed. They said that things didn't feel like they used to feel, or that some of the relationships that they had come and gone, people had passed or people had moved away, and that the overall spirit, the love in the church wasn't there. They didn't feel that family, that close, that connection, right? And so they said, well, we need to find a different church, is basically what they thought. I don't agree with that, but that was the consensus. It was a heart matter. They didn't feel like they didn't feel the family, the love. And so that's what put on my mind is I started looking through scriptures and you know, asking the Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? This can't be coincidence. And this is what he brought me to is love. What is our relationship like with the person next to us in the pew or the person in the pew ahead of us? Now, here at Bluestone, we've been together for about 3 months, and I think you guys are at the bee's knees. Some of you guys, though, have been in fellowship here and known each other all your lives, right? Which is a wonderful thing. You guys basically are family. But I think to myself, how many of us could say that about every single person in our church? How many of us could just say that? So Christ loved to the end. The love, here's a note that I put on loving to the end. We can't allow that love to get stale over time. We can't assume that, well, because there's a relationship there, it's fine, and then not stay in fellowship with each other, to not let them know that, hey, I know we haven't talked in a while, we've been busy, we've got our own lives going on, but hey, I still love you, I'm still for you, I still support you, you're on my mind, I pray for you. The note that I put is that the love that we are to possess among believers is made manifest through actions, spending time together, praying for each other, helping with needs, support in hard times. The love that characterizes the believer is that which will characterize the church. And that's basically what I learned that night when I spoke with them. The love that each of us has is what's going to be the love that's in our church. How we are is how our church is. Because really, we are the church, are we not? We are the church. And by this, I mean not just our local church, but that applies to the bride, the church in general. So three things in closing is that, first of all, Christ loved with acceptance. Anyone who accepted Christ, Christ accepted. If Christ accepts them, how much more should we? too. He loved with service and with sacrifice. His love was made manifest by action. He showed his love. He didn't just say it. And the same thing goes for our faith. Faith without works is dead. It's one thing to say that you have faith, but if it's not producing fruit, if it's not alive, if it's not active, then it's dead faith. Same thing goes with that heart. That heart should be a beating heart that has action, that has fruit, can be seen. And thirdly, finally, Christ loved to the very end. Never did that love fade out. Up to the moment where he was about to go to the cross, he loved. He loved. Even in his dying moments, the last thing he said, "It is finished." Even his dying moments, his thoughts were on what he came to accomplish for us. Wow, God. If there's anyone here tonight who does not know God, if you don't have that relationship or you question that relationship, if you haven't experienced the love of Christ that I've been talking about tonight, if it's not in your heart, if you haven't experienced what it's like for God to love you, to accept you, to receive by grace the service and the sacrifice that he came and lived and died to make available to us. If you don't know yet that he will be with you to the very end, then tonight, as the congregation sings, come down. I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know, how you can have that relationship, how you can enjoy and you can experience the love of God. And I encourage the rest of us, those that do have this, those that have experienced the love of Christ, that we show that love in more than words. That's the encouragement that I have for you tonight. Please come to invitation hymn.